Okay, as we roll into hour number three tonight in what they call in the talk radio industry long-form programming, which is more than 2 hours, very happily always doing 3 hours and always have over 30 years now. And thanks to many of you who have been listening for a great deal of that time, it's extraordinary, the quality of people that are looking this way for assistance, and we're only too happy to help. He's back, and he's not happy. He really never went away for too long. Brother Nathaniel took a little break and has decided that it is time, it's the end of time, it's time to relaunch Real Jew News, Brother Nathaniel's own showcase of how he, as a born and raised Jewish American, now sees the world through his Christian eyeglasses. And he has a perspective that no one else can offer, no one can understand, unless that person, he or she, was also brought up as a seriously committed Jew and then decided as an adult that it was time to change partners and keep dancing. And he's still dancing. Welcome back.
It's called The Education of Brother Nathaniel, and I'm about to do my doctoral thesis.
There you go. That's good. Yeah. How we got to get you a better phone. We're lacking a little. Todd, would you push up the high end on him a little bit to sharpen it? It's a little bit gauzy, if you can.
Is this better, Jeff?
That is better. What did you do?
All right. I got it right up to my mouth. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, just don't swallow it. No, that's fine. We're good.
No. I'm not going to swallow any words now. That's over.
Yes.
I'm on my doctoral thesis. Look out.
I understand. When you first converted to Christianity and looked over your shoulder and watched what you had been through all those years, how hard was it for you to admit that you had gone down the wrong road? Was it hard, or were you just glad to have finally realized it? You were about 21 at the time, I guess, something like that.
I know, but people say, how did you come to believe in Jesus Christ? I said, through my rabbi. And they said, your rabbi believed in Jesus?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, he started spitting when I mentioned him. So I thought, well, with a reaction like that, it must be true.
Something to look into here. Yeah, that's interesting.
Well, I'm only a kid. I'm only a teenager. Well, I'm not even that. I think I was 12 years old, and I got it real quick from him spitting. I said, there must be something to this thing.
He really
so
did.
So we were forbidden to even talk about Jesus until, you know, I left home and synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I opened up the New Testament, and boom, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah.
Got it.
So his spit did everything.
That's funny. That's funny. I can see that in the movie right now. Young Jewish kid talking to the rabbi, and the rabbi starts spitting and frothing and cursing, whatever.
Oh, yeah. He says, don't you ever say that word unless you use it as a curse word. And there is a Talmudic curse word. Oh, yes, there is.
Oh, my.
I won't mention it, but there is.
Wow.
All right. So he prompted my conversion to Christianity. Yeah.
Got it. When you never looked back, right? No problem.
No.
You knew you were.
No.
How did you feel? Liberated? Enlightened? Like you had been struck on the head with the hammer of wisdom? What happened? How did you feel about
it? It was like a light bulb going off.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just the genealogies of Jesus Christ in St. Matthew chapter 1 convinced me. Because we knew as Jews, and we studied history, everything, okay, in the Hebrew school, Shabbat school, that the genealogies were lost. Now I see the genealogies. Wow, he is the Messiah. So it was like a light bulb, and I see all these prophecies that were fulfilled. He'll be born in Bethlehem, he'll be born of a virgin, he'll come before the destruction of the second temple. It all just was lit up. Everything I saw before, heard in the synagogue, heard at Shabbat services, and just went one ear and out the other, boom, the light bulb goes off.
Wow.
Yeah, I was looking forward to this, and I got it, what I wanted, since the time I was 12 when he started spitting.
When did you formally convert?
I formally converted in 1970 as a young kid, 20. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeff, mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but it's true. I'm 73, but I feel like I'm 19 because it's the re-education of Brother Nathaniel.
Well, you have that intensity of spirit that comes through your voice, belief, not some evangelical kookism, but knowledge and wisdom. And there's no one else that can understand this. 0.0025%, 0.0025% of the world population essentially runs the world. How did that happen? How could they do it?
Money. They own the central banks. Every central bank, whether it's the European central bank, whether it's the British central bank, whether it's the Fed, which is not federal nor reserve, these are consortiums of Jewish bankers that run the Western world. And the one who wouldn't have anything to do with it anymore was Vladimir Putin. That's why he gets bad press from the media. Well, they hate him for it.
They smear the hell out of him. But here's another issue with Vladimir Putin. When Vladimir Putin was a boy going to elementary school, his family lived in a typical Soviet-era high-rise apartment building, I guess, somewhere. And his parents both worked, and he had to come home every day before his parents were back. You know, 2 o'clock, 2:30, whatever. And the neighbor family took him in every day, fed him lunch, helped him with his homework, and then his parents got home, and he eventually went home. That family happened to be a Jewish family, very kind people, and he never forgot that. So he has a soft spot. But beyond that, there's a hard spot, and that hard spot is the simple fact that, as in Ukraine, as in Russia, the Jewish oligarchs wield an extraordinary amount of influence in both countries, in Ukraine and in Russia. So,
look, there's
there
always
are
an
issues.
Exception.
Yes.
You always have some nice Jewish people, okay?
Always.
And many
always.
Jews are actually Russian Orthodox, a lot of them,
have
become Russian Orthodox. I know a lot of them, okay? We see each other and we open up our arms and read, you know, which means Jewish, basically. So, but he nationalized the media years ago because it was all run by Jews. But he still has given the media and the different networks a lot of freedom, and some of them are critical of him. He lets them.
More than we have. Not even close.
And then the chief rabbi, he put back in the 13th row whenever he gives a... But the picture is right in the front row next to the media.
Hold on, brother. I was waiting for this to clear up. It's not cleared up yet. You're breaking up a little bit. They don't like you talking, so they're probably messing things up. All right, let's see how you sound.
How am I now?
You're good. You're good.
I sound better now. I got to keep my finger on this thing. Okay.
All right, good.
All right, so chief rabbi was put back in the 13th row. He didn't like it because the patriarch of all Russia is in the first row next to Medvedev, and he decides he's not going to come anymore. Well, who wants him anyways? Because Putin sees Russia as culturally and religiously and historically as an Orthodox country, Orthodox Christian country.
Right.
And Wedden, who brings this up all the time, is Colonel McGregor. He does, constantly.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He's very astute. So, okay.
Oh, yeah.
With what's going on in Gaza now and the West Bank, and don't be lulled into any false sense of West Bank security, because they are after the Palestinians in the West Bank now. They want them gone as well. The plan is for all the Palestinians to be expelled from the West Bank and Gaza. This has been a dream for a long time. That's why the fake Hamas surprise attack, it was a real attack, but it was no surprise, was carried out and planned and executed. And we know now that the mask of that brave little democracy in the Middle East has forever, irrevocably been ripped off the face of world satanic Zionism. What's going on in Gaza is not excusable under any circumstance. 17,000 dead now, minimum. Thousands still trapped under buildings. Right now, no relief allowed directly into the country except a tiny trickle of trucks going across the southern border from Egypt through Rafah and then elsewhere. The Jews cleverly cut the Gaza Strip in half, North Gaza and South Gaza. They ordered all the people in the north to walk south, guaranteed them safe corridors, and with great acumen destroyed many of them while they were walking to what they thought would be security and safety, just annihilated them. Got another video going up about that very shortly, an eyewitness account of a man bringing his family. Fortunately, they made it from the south, from the north rather, to the south, down one of the main roads that was considered a viable evacuation route. They want these people either to walk in en masse into northern Egypt, into the Sinai, or walk straight into the Mediterranean and drown. They want them dead and gone. They think Europe should take them in. They think the Arab countries should take them in. And the Arab countries have essentially done nothing. And as I've said many times, the obvious answer to that question is that they've been told that if you get involved, we're going to nuke you. And that'll stop them right in their tracks. Otherwise, they would have done something by now. So tell us about all this. Go ahead.
All you and your listeners have to see, and I'm sure you've seen it, is what the Israeli defense minister said right from the get-go on October 7th. He was all set and ready to say it. His name is Yoav Gallant. I know these dudes because I grew up as a Jew. I know them, okay? And I know that Israel is not a democracy. It's a military dictatorship. Always was, always is, always will be. And my dad is the one who showed us this as kids, all right? Well, he said right from the get-go, we are fighting human animals. Well, that's very Talmudic, because that's how the Jews look upon any goyim. Now, if you become an enemy, you're even substandard, race.
Got it.
Human being. Okay, we are fighting human animals. And he goes on to say, Gaza will no longer be what it was. We will eliminate Gaza. There it is. Now, if anyone saw that, they would see right away what's going to happen. And it's happening. Okay. So this is their whole mindset, and they want to do the same on the West Bank. They don't want a single Palestinian in their ancestral homeland, as Jonathan Greenblatt keeps saying. Well, God kicked them the hell out of their homeland many times, finally, definitively, in 70 A.D. and 135 A.D. And Jesus says, your house is left unto you desolate. Okay? So that's it. All right? And that's the beginning and end of it. All right.
Look at the video.
No, right.
Look at the video at the top of the homepage, which explains, and we have the full evidence of it. The Jews have been expelled over 1,030 times from cities, nation states, countries, cultures. They've been expelled. The Byzantine Empire forbade the Jews. This lasted for 1,200 years, and how the Byzantine Empire survived was that it forbade Jews to be involved in education, teaching, banking, as in finance, and I've forgotten the third one, but it may have something to do with merchants and business of some kind. But they forbade
finance of any sort, education, I think you mentioned that.
Those two, there's a third.
Any kind of civil authority, any kind of civil office. And this was launched initially by St. Constantine the Great, as we call him, and codified into law, Byzantine law, by St. Justinian the Great. That's why the Byzantine Empire is never taught in our public schools or in the colleges.
Never hear
because
about it.
Because
people don't even know what it was.
No one even knows what it is. Because those who rule America don't want it taught.
Right. It's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. There's another angle that I want to go over again. I've covered this for decades, but it's important to know that the basic assumption is, hopefully, not all Jews are bad people. We know that. I don't even want to bother saying it. That's a given. However, in the Middle East, you have two kinds of Jews. You've got the we'll call them the biblical Jews, genetically speaking. They trace their ancestry back 2,000, 3,000 years right to the Middle East, right there where this is all happening. Then you have the European, light-skinned, Ashkenazi Jews, like Netanyahu, for example, and others, who are not genetically tied to the biblical ages. They're different. They're Eastern European from the Khazarian Empire. They adopted Judaism in the 600s. They're not genetically the same as the original Jews who are there, who are very much like, and in point of fact, they did a genetic analysis of the biblical Jews, we'll call them, and the Arabs, and couldn't find any appreciable differences at all in the genetics. That story was allowed to run one day, to the best of my memory, and then it disappeared. Mm-hmm. Basically said the Arabs and the biblically lineage-speaking Jews are identical genetically. Now, it's not the Ashkenazim. Yeah. All right, so how do you address that?
Okay, Drs. Kevin MacDonald and Dr. David Duke would argue against this Khazarian theory. It's a theory, and the theory was developed to get the Jews off the hook from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That's why it was developed in the first place.
Oh,
and it was it was popularized by this guy Arthur Kessler, who wrote the 13th Tribe. But it was put together by some scholar, a Jewish scholar. Okay, So I never bought into it. My father never bought into it. We never agreed with this. Okay, but what we did agree to, and which my father had shown me, who was fiercely anti-Zionist, very Jewish, kind of a Jewish supremacist in his own right, is that Jews, that those biblical Jews that you mentioned, who could trace back, their line to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Muslims and Christian Arabs got along famously in Palestine, which was a prosperous country.
Yes, it was.
They were involved in all kind of trade and all kind of textiles and various commodities and jewelry, not just olive groves. They got along terrifically, and it wasn't until these Eastern European Jews, who are basically communists, if these evangelical Baptists would ever wake up, and atheists started colonizing the area and poisoning the wells, okay? And I was taught this from a kid, from my father. Mm. So it's not that I'm just, this new guy come along the pike. I just decided that's it. I'm going to expose them. And I did this in 2007 when I launched Real Jew News with mostly articles. I wanted to expose them. And when I started exposing them, boom, Jeff Rentz gets on, and he starts posting me, and I become famous because I was telling things and facts and figures and names and places like nobody else. You take, for instance, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. There's no way a Gentile could have written this. It's impossible. Because these layers of deception and intrigue, no Gentile could ever come up with, because Gentiles are basically forthright people.
They couldn't
have written this. mm-hmm. There's no forgery. And I did prove it. And it's on my site, Real Jew News, which is now up. If you do a search, you'll see it. It's not a forgery. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just click on Brother Nathaniel's name if you need to, or look in the headlines. We've got another story up from him. RealJewNews.com.
Okay, so this is what I learned as a kid, because my dad, very strong Orthodox Jew, was not a Zionist. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate in that regard, because I learned early that this is not a fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And I knew the Tanakh, we call it the Tanakh, the Old Testament, very well, as a Jewish kid.
Mm-hmm.
So this is really my background, and the other part of it is I've got the inside track. I know how Jews think behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They're two-faced. They put on one face before the goyim, like this two-state solution, and this idea of light to the Gentiles.
Brother Nathaniel, they must laugh at the goyim, because the goyim are just, they're a half step behind in figuring it out. I don't blame them. But they're really being outsmarted by these people all the time.
Oh,
quite
yeah.
Amazing.
You know, if I ever said something stupid as a Jewish kid, my uncles and aunts and everybody would say, oh, you have a goyish hukuk, which means you think like a Gentile.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
But they would never say that in front of the goyim.
Somebody told me about it. There was a very high-end private dinner party, and I believe it was New York, and I can't remember the specifics now. I used to know. And there were, you know, it was about half Jews, half Christian at the dinner, and they were all getting on famously. And they were drinking it up, and they had, I guess, a lot to drink. And at one point, one of the Jews said something to the people at the table about, well, we control your government, such, and they started naming things and explaining things. And one of the Jews across the table from him turned basically red in the face, as I remember the story, and said, you shut up. We're not supposed to talk about that, and you damn well know it. So shut up. And that's right. That's what you're saying. They got a whole different subculture in their own, and they're not supposed to talk about those things to the goyim.
Well, they'll say, well, but we live in a pluralistic society. So no wonder some Jews who happen to be brilliant will be put in government positions. But all of them? I mean, look at Biden's administration. They're all Jews.
Basically,
how did that happen? I mean, come figure it out.
Right.
Figure it out.
Coincidence.
Okay.
All right, hold on, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back with Brother Nathaniel in just a couple of minutes as we continue. Glad to have you along. Brother Nathaniel Kapner is here, and he's back. RealJewNews.com is back, and we'll be following his efforts to spread his truth to the planet as far as we can reach it. The U.S. House of Representatives, I'm not sure, well, I am sure, they don't represent us. We know who they represent. They represent their donors. And who are their donors in all key races? They're Jewish Americans and international groups that come in and donate as well. All right. The House passes a bill, this is a headline, that states anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. So you're not allowed to criticize Zionism now because you're an anti-Semite. They're playing these label games, the ADL and all the rest of them. It's pretty grim out there. The good news is, people used to be afraid to even say the word Jew because of the Holocaust. They wanted to be respectful, they very careful. Talking about issues Jewish was basically off limits to most people, especially in the media. They just didn't talk about it. That's changed. People are able to talk about it now and use the word Jew, just like they use the word Catholic or Protestant or Muslim or Episcopalian. It's just a religious term. But there was a long time, and I grew up, and people just didn't dare say that because that Holocaust thing had been drummed into people's minds to the extent that they were afraid to even mention it. So the House of Representatives has passed that resolution that says anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Any comments on that one?
Well, it's obvious who wrote that piece of legislation. Jonathan Greenblatt. Of the ADL, the most hideous-looking thing you ever saw in your life. He's actually the personification, which I'm bringing out in my new vid that I'm going to do tomorrow. He's actually the personification of the Jewish war machine. He's hideously ugly. His lips protrude. Ooh, it's just disgusting. One eye is evil eye. The other eye is placid. The mix of deception. And he's got
they
a big
different.
Point at the top.
Huh? Yeah, they are different. They are different. I've noticed that.
Well, I mean, just take a look. I mean, you know, looks do convey an inner atmosphere. And the inner atmosphere of the Jew is the synagogue of Satan. Now, some clerics might, you know, say I'm, you know, a bad guy for saying that. But if they want to say that I'm a bad guy, they're going to have to say Jesus is a bad guy. Because he said a twice. Not just once, he said it twice. In case you didn't get it the first time, he said it the second time.
Right.
So the synagogue of Satan has a certain look, and this Jonathan Green, blech, personifies that look. And I call it the personification of the Jewish war machine, which I sent you the text for talking points tonight if you want to do it.
Yeah.
It's my new vid going up tomorrow. The Jewish murder machine, I'm calling it, and it's on perpetual rewind. The Jewish state has a right to defend itself. No, it does not. The Hague Conventions and the International Court of Justice designate the Jewish state as an occupying power with no right to even exist. But will the Zionists go along with that? No, of course not. Anything the Goyim put together that's humanitarian, they ignore. They don't want anything to do with it because it's too humanitarian, because they look upon the Goyim as subhuman, substandard, second-rate souls. I know it. I grew up in it. Now, every Jew has his divinely descended soul, but the Goyim, no. So if you're Hamas or Palestinian or some enemy, no. You're down in the sub-basement with your soul. You're an animal. So let's eliminate Gaza. It will never exist again, says Yoav Gallant. And they're doing just what the Israeli defense minister stated from the get-go. So we have to just look at what they're saying. And we don't need any great commentary. I don't need Norman Finkelstein. I don't need these people, the light to the Gentile people. I don't need them, okay? I just go right to the sources. That's what I do. I've always done that. I go to the top of the food chain. The top of the food chain is the military. It's not Netanyahu. It's not.
Well, they have a military.
See,
they have a military-industrial complex over there, but it's not really a military-industrial complex because they don't make much of the weaponry they use. It's all given to them by the arsenal of Judaism, which is formerly known as the United States of America. We give them everything they want. We just sent them over.
Well,
one of the most hilarious things I've seen in a long time was the alleged request from the White House to Israel to use smaller bombs in annihilating Gaza so fewer people would be slaughtered. And yet they sent them just now over 2,000-pound bunker buster bombs. The hypocrisy of what's going on now is beyond belief. It's just incredible.
Well, America's owned by these people. America's not sovereign. It hasn't been since 1913 when the Federal Reserve was created.
That was the death of America. You got it.
I go right to the sources. Major General Yitzhak Brick just stated recently, and I'm on to these people quick, like nobody really. He stated in this interview, all of our missiles, the ammunition, the precision-guided bombs, all the airplanes and bombs and missiles, it's all from the U.S. The minute they turn off the tap, the general says, we can't keep fighting.
We're
we
responsible for everything that's gone on there, essentially.
Yeah.
Everything.
So it's, who's
that's why I call
the
it the, yeah, I call it the U.S.-Israel war on Gaza. The U.S. is more than intimately involved with it. It's providing it. It's like the same with Ukraine. The Ukrainian Zionists would be out of power, out of office, and the war would have never started without American money. And we've thrown at least $150 billion over there and wasted it all, disarmed ourselves to a very significant degree militarily. We're now wide open to being taken down from within by the Chinese communists who are here, to the tune of 5.5 million of them. They're here, legally, living here, right now, not counting the tens of thousands that come across the border. We're in real trouble. We are as vulnerable as a nation could be right now. No joke.
Well, they're not only here, but they make all of our military parts. All of our chips that go into...
And 90% of the antibiotics produced in the world come from China now. We don't make our own antibiotics anymore.
So this war on China, it's a joke. The Wall Street Jews have sent all of our industry, all of our factories, all of our manufacturing over there.
Right.
So right. They're the ones to blame, really, those who finance and underwrite the stocks of corporations. I mean, this is finance 101 that I understood, again, from my anti-Zionist father from a kid. So I decided, finally, in 2007, everything I know from the inside track, I'm going to expose them. So now I just had a re-education.
I want to say that I've seen many videos of Jews, especially in Israel, speaking about Palestinians and other non-Jews in the most hateful terms I have ever heard. I remember the one time I saw these young men, I guess they were in their early 20s, saying, "We killed your Jesus, and we do it again." He's talking to some Christians. They hate. That country is full of hate. It's remarkable.
Well, so the American Jews do. Sarah Silverman, she's famous for that line.
She rubs her face again, she said. Yeah, I know.
Well, not only that, I once, it's on my site, The Real Jews, with Sarah Silverman. Can the Jews
all
be
your
saved?
Videos, all of Brother Nathaniel's videos are back up and available now on his site. They're all there. And there are some classics.
Waiting for some propagating to go through the internet, but eventually everyone will be able to access all my videos. Okay?
Got it.
We just put it up a few hours ago. And I'll do my first video, fresh video, now that I'm on my doctoral thesis, tomorrow. Yeah.
Got it.
I'm calling it the Jewish murder machine, and I'm going to show that this is worldwide. I mean, you might guess. Human shields. So wherever there's a human shield for some enemy of the Jews want to get rid of them. So in their mind, they'll kill everybody so they can have their ancestors. Boom, and Jonathan Greenblatt can get on MSNBC, you know, and he can start his, you know, teardrops, you know, and give all these citations of all this anti-Semitism, which there really isn't any. Because they're going over too stupid eating their fries and watching, you know, the football games.
The ball game. As long as the ball game is on and the beer is in the fridge, they're okay. They can. Oh, and they have their. We just lost Brother Nathaniel. Cut him off. They're going to. That may be a callback. I don't know. It's something ringing. All right. We'll get him. It's quite amusing to think about how. International Zionism, and that's the way I look at it. This is a geopolitical movement. It's remarkable how the Jews have created the cell phone industry and social media to hopelessly and thoroughly addict Goyim Christians.
Well,
and the Christians will never figure it out.
They put up some brown-looking, you know, Hindu, now who's the head of YouTube. It's no longer Susan Wojcicki.
Oh, these are just token misdirection things. You know that.
Well, I knew a long time ago who owned, you know, Google. You know, Sergey Brin and Larry Page were just used by the Pentagon, Mossad, CIA. They're all joined at the hip, you know.
Yeah, we're supposed to think, Brother Nathaniel, we're supposed to think that Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, and the others became billionaires on their own, that they somehow made all this money. The richest man in the world is Elon Musk. He somehow did that on his own. Doesn't work that way. These people were chosen. They're figureheads, whatever you want to call them. And they're living the good life. But come on, Facebook, the addictive quality of social media is astounding when you think about it. These people just, they are witheringly addicted to that phone. That was the
plan. It's a horrible thing, really. And X, as he now calls it, is just a sewer. Oh, it's a free speech. It's, you know, the town square.
Who did he name as his CEO immediately? Linda Yaccarino. Linda Yaccarino, one of Klaus Schwab's favorites. Linda Yaccarino. Yeah, well, that's Musk CEO.
I don't trust any of them. I mean, he has contracts with the government, and I mean, I don't know how far can he really go.
Right.
You know, he just hobnobbed with Bibsy in Israel, and you know, what's that all about? I think he cut off Starlink in Gaza. I mean, so what's that all about?
I think he reconnected it so that the Israelis could use it. No, you shouldn't.
Well,
we shouldn't.
No, the only one I trusted, and I know him personally, and I know his assistant, is Ron Paul. I know him, and he knows me, and I know Lou Rockwell. Mm-hmm. I trust them. But the problem with Ron Paul, he did not ask me for advice. I would have told him, don't leave Congress. You'll do nothing if you leave. So the Ron Paul Liberty Report does nothing. He's just preaching to the choir. It does nothing. But if he stayed in Congress and insisted on auditing the Fed, which was his big hallmark, then it could have alerted to people, hey, who is the Fed? What's going on here? But Rand Paul is not doing that. Okay, Rand Paul wants to play the Jewish game.
Oh, he's very disappointed. From the beginning.
Yeah, he is terribly disappointed. And, you know, all he did was this Fauci thing, which is nowheresville. That's not going to go anywhere. I mean, come on. That's a non-starter. So he tries to play the Jewish game. They burned him once. They'll burn him again, but he thinks that's where it's at. And I tried it on YouTube with my Bible with brother, and I got an education that you don't even play their game. Because if you be effective in something that's not their agenda, that's not their narration, which is the church, which is bringing young kids to Christ, which they see as their province, that's their terrain, that's their territory, they'll ban you. No explanation, no warning, and they'll just quote over and over 100 trillion times, you violated community guidelines. Which one? You violated community guidelines. Tell me, just one. And I wouldn't. I got on chat and I was talking to a robot. I mean, what good is that? It's my education.
Diabolically clever, all of it.
My doctoral thesis. I mean, look out. They will be sorry they ever did that to me. They're going to be sorry because I'll destroy them, and they deserve it. I'll destroy their influence. That's what I mean. I'm not being violent. I don't believe in that stuff. Doesn't work anyways. But their influence, I want to destroy. And I think I have a good stab at it because I've got the inside track.
Well, nobody has your perspective. Nobody that I know, anyway.
They can't. I see it from the inside. I grew up it. My dad used to take me to the B'nai B'rith meetings. Mm-hmm. So the whole question was, who are we going to send money to make governor, to make senator, whether it's a state senator or, you know, a federal senator.
So they were planning the takeover of American geopolitics even then, when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah. This is in the 50s that my dad started taking me. I was born in 1950.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I knew about the Holocaust hoax from the get-go. There was no such thing as the word Holocaust. We never heard this word 6 million.
We never
heard of gas chambers.
I think they started ramping it up in the 60s. That's when it first.
Yeah, it was in the mid-60s.
One of the greatest shakedowns in history.
Yeah, yeah. When they felt they really had to promote this Zionist project, then, you know, they wanted everyone to feel sorry for them. Well, they're driving around in Cadillacs that are in gated communities. They own and run everything. You're going to feel sorry for these people? The great victims? Well, it's used to, you know, to foil the Goyim. Oh. And not only the Goyim, I mean, priests and ministers and Baptists and evangelicals. I mean, they love Jesus. They love Jews more than they love Jesus. Well, you see it on the Hagee revival shows. They're all waving Israeli flags. I don't see the cross being waved. And the Jewish Star of David, we call the Mogan David, is a occult symbol for the Middle Ages.
Yes, it is.
It's occult. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So it's a very sad situation that's going on. But I think people are starting to wake up. And they're seeing the murderous venom in Jews and what they're doing to children. And this congressman, this Republican congressman, Mast, starts trying to make excuses that as there were no innocent Nazi civilians in World War II, so there are no innocent Palestinians now.
That is so psychotic.
About the children.
That is evil in its import and on its face. It is just disgusting even to hear that kind of thinking. Or it's not it's game playing. It's just liar.
Well, he stated it. Well, this stupid guy didn't write that script.
No.
Tom Yid, who's sponsoring him with money and his campaign funding, wrote it. So he shows up in Congress in an IDF uniform and says it. And did anyone censure him? No.
No.
They applaud him.
They're afraid. It's all fear-based. It's quite remarkable how they get away with it. It is true. And we'd be talking about this the same way if any other group at 0.002% of the world population were able to control the world. I don't care who it is. It's not the way it should be. Majority rules rights of the minority. That's how the planet should be run. It's not going to happen, though. This country, let's start with a country. What do we have here for a government now? It's a joke. It's a deadly, evil joke. It's a dictatorship. This Obama, the Obama-Biden administration, is sending and throwing away American money at will. There's no oversight from the Congress, the Senate, nothing. They do what they want. And it's all this almost a unanimous vote on everything, virtually unanimous. 90% will vote for all these programs because all their money comes from the Jewish establishment in this country. That's where their donations come from. So they're all bought and paid for, basically, right there. And the rest of them
have been on
Jeffrey Epstein's jet. And so they're bought and paid for and controlled there, like Robert F. Kennedy, 2 times on that jet. Imagine what they have on him.
Well, he's come out as an arch Zionist, this guy.
Absolutely.
And the other one who came out, he sold his soul to Benny Shapiro, Jordan Peterson.
Danny is something else, that guy.
Well, on October 7th, Jordan Peterson got on X Twitter and tweeted, "Give him hell, Netanyahu." Oh, what a sweet guy that Jordan Peterson is. Make your bed and bomb the hell out of them.
Right.
Just disgusting. Well, now his cream cheese is being buttered by Ben Shapiro, little Benny. Little creep. I know all about him, okay?
Yeah.
He decided to become an Orthodox Jew in his teens. And he went to some... Yeah, oh yeah. He's a fake.
I know.
I know these people. I mean, I know who's really understands Judaism. Who doesn't? He doesn't. And he started going to some modernistic yeshiva high school. Very modernistic. They don't know the Bible. And they don't even know Talmud. They really don't. He doesn't know Judaism, so he's just a Zionist, extreme Zionist. And he started calling his sons of bitches, and let's go in, and let's take them over, and let's destroy. It doesn't matter how long it takes, we must destroy. Well, he listened to Yoav Gallant, the Israeli defense minister. They must be eliminated. What about the children? Oh, who cares about them? Let's gouge out their eyes. Let's sever their limbs. Let's cut off their legs. I mean, these are despicable people, Jeff. These are subhuman people.
I know. It's something that much of the world now is seeing. They may have suspected it, but now they're seeing it. The merciless destruction of human life, men, women, and children, is really unprecedented. I've not seen anything like it. There's no war being fought. This is simply annihilation of humanity.
Jeff, please name me one congressman, one senator who's speaking out against this. Please name me one. How about Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, this wonderful hero? What's he saying? How about Matt Gaetz? What's he saying? Is anyone speaking out against this?
No, you're about it. No, you're about it. David Duke speaks out about it academically, as he does, Dr. Duke, and you, but you're not restrained at all. So we will see how this all plays out with your insight and your guidance. And
on now. I'm on my doctoral thesis.
Great to have you back. All right, Brother Nathaniel.
I'm in a fighting mood, and I know just where to strike.
You too. All right. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
Thanks for being here. All righty. Brother Nathaniel Kapner, and we will keep our eye on him. And we'll be right back in 21 hours with another program for you. So beware, take care, and try to prepare. Bad things coming. Talk to you tomorrow.